It's time for America's Promise with Sheldon Emery of Phoenix, Arizona. Sit down with your Bible and listen as Pastor Emery preaches the Word of God, the good news of Christ's kingdom, and Bible truths about the United States of America as foretold in prophecy. This is God's promise to America, that the power and works of God will lead America to read, believe, and obey Christ's holy commands. We pray that these Bible teaching programs will be used of God to that end. During the broadcast, Pastor Emery will be offering literature, which you may request for your personal study. America's Promise Radio Bible Studies are sponsored by Lord's Covenant Church of Phoenix, Arizona. Won't you join us, please? And now, Pastor Sheldon Emery.
Thank you. We have had quite a lot of comment on the parts of the sermon I played over this radio broadcast last week and the week before, titled Jeremiah, a Weeping Prophet to a Sinful Nation. It seems that most of my radio audience, at least those who wrote, had never heard anyone make a comparison of what the prophet Jeremiah wrote to the present situation in the United States of America. Of course, that itself is part of America's problem. She is not being taught the Word of God. America is not being shown her errors in the light of God's Word, and so both the people of America and the leaders go right on in their sin and error, making the same mistakes made by ancient Israel, which brought destruction upon that nation. Of course, some misunderstand and they say, "Oh, Pastor Emery, what you are doing is preaching politics, and politics is not the mission of the church. The mission of the church is to save souls and leave politics to the politicians." Well, on the surface, that sounds right. Not because it is right, but because we have heard it so often. For 75 years, we have had drummed into our minds from both the press and the pulpit that the Christian should have little or nothing to do with politics. The result of such propaganda has been to remove the Christians from politics, and the logical consequence has come to pass. And what is that? Well, the non-Christians have taken over politics, and they are now moving the forces of our government against the best interests of the Christians and Christianity. What did we expect? Were we actually so foolish to think that we could turn the government of America over to non-Christians and anti-Christians and still see Christianity flourish and be protected in our nation? Some must have thought we could, but they have been proven wrong, terribly wrong, as the months and years go by. Let me call your attention to two verses of Scripture, which are quite well known by almost every Christian in America. And most of you hear these verses, at least around Christmas time, as ministers preach about the birth of Jesus Christ. This is in Isaiah 9, and is one of scores of passages about the coming of the Christ. Isaiah 9, verses 6 and 7. "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." That is verse 6, and it has even been put to music and makes a beautiful congregational song. Then follows verse 7, a little less well known. "Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it, and to establish it with judgment and with justice, from henceforth even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." Christians read those verses, or hear them, or even sing them, and do not see or understand the significance of the phrase, "the government shall be upon his shoulder." The government, yes, the government over Christian believers is to be based on Christ's word. How in the name of all that is reasonable can Christians believe they can be ruled by Antichrist and still be ruled according to the Word of God? Of course they cannot. If they are ruled by non-Christians and Antichrist, they will be ruled according to Antichrist principles, which will destroy both Christianity and the Christians. I'm going to play another portion of that sermon on Jeremiah in just a few minutes. But first I want to read a paragraph or so out of a book titled Makers of the American Republic. In this, the author demonstrates that it was the Christian churches which founded our political institutions. Let me repeat that. It was the Christian churches which founded our political institutions. Here is just a paragraph or so from that tremendous work. Quote, "So embedded in the life of our early civic fathers was the Christian church that we cannot think of them apart from the Christian church." Notice he uses the term "our early civic fathers," in other words, the politicians of their day. He goes on, "The church was the real morning of the state with them. They saw to it that every infant settlement had its sanctuary until 10,000 spires pointed upward to the source of their national prosperity. With them, this was the method of their political building. The people made the laws and the churches made the people. Their churches were the incarnation of federalism and so prophecies of the coming American Union. They built into New England general intelligence, reverence for law, and faith in God. These were the triple foundations which they put underneath the young republic. When in after ages the sons of New Englanders moved out of New England and sought the West in the conquest of new territory, they belted this whole continent with a zone of New Englandism and built this triple foundation under our whole political fabric. Into the great West they carried with them their churches, and these continued what they were in the beginning, centers of political intelligence and of patriotic devotion and of hope for the future. The holy and everlasting principles taught in the churches wove new stars and stripes to float over new homes and added new state luminaries to the galaxy which dotted the blue in our national banner. Someone has said, education and religion are at home wherever our flag shakes out its folds, and this is true. But there is a truth prior to this and greater to this, and that truth is the stars and stripes are at home wherever Christian education and the Christian religion pioneer and take the land and fill it with churches. The author then goes on and comments on two different ways which he believes the church serves the American Republic. The second one is this, quote, "It keeps before the people the true idea with regard to national greatness and national strength. The church in teaching American citizens begins with God. The first essential is to get into right relation with God, to get His law written on the heart and incorporated in the life. Institutions must harmonize with His will, and so must rulers, and so must voters." Just imagine, 100 and some years ago in America, men like this wrote books in which they said that institutions, that means all of the various organizations of society, must harmonize with God's will, and so must rulers, and so must voters. What a long way we have fallen from the Christian theme of the writings of early America. This same writer goes on, "The church, in instructing American citizens, set Jesus Christ before men as the pattern after which to model. His views of man, man's dignity, man's rights, man's needs must be held. His principles and his views of doctrines concerning God must be adopted. The divine love which shines out of his cross must be allowed to dominate all the affairs of human life. His hopefulness must be granted an entrance into the souls of men. His manhood must be reproduced in our citizens, and the nation itself must wheel into line with the purposes of his coming kingdom of righteousness and peace and love. Do I properly magnify and represent the Christian church, this institution of God which announces the law of God, and which guards the day of God, and which labors to make the nation Christian? Is it the power in this land of ours which I have represented it to be? If so, then duty is plain, and there is no escape from duty. What is duty? It is duty to give the Republic Christian churches. When we have church bells everywhere, from Alaska to New Mexico, and from Maine to California, then we can challenge them to do their God-assigned work for the American Republic." This author goes on, and after writing at some length, of the comparison between Christianity and patriotism, he begins to warn the American reader what would happen if they allowed America to be taken over by non-Christians. He says this, quote, "As American patriots, we should not allow ourselves to be blind to facts by a foolish optimism. With all our greatness, the God of nations could break us in pieces with a single stroke. Our only protection is loyalty to Christ. We must make our land and keep our land a gospel land. Whenever America becomes a Sahara of infidelity, it will be as worthless as any other moral sand heap. Whenever the citizens of our republic allow the sirocco of atheism to sweep it, then so far as I am concerned, farewell republic. Whoever wishes may claim the old, withered, shriveled, blasted, lifeless thing which the sirocco leaves." And I should explain for those who do not understand it, the sirocco is a name for a hot wind which sweeps across the Sahara Desert. He says it is the sirocco of atheism which will destroy America. This man wrote at great length, and he concluded this portion of his book with these words, quote, "All this being true, it is the veriest truism to say that America taken for Christ means the nations of the world far and near taken for Christ. America, a Christian nation, means a mighty witness for God among all lands of the earth. My fellow men, our country is the battleground on which the conflicts of the ages are to be fought and decided. It is the valley of decision, filled with multitudes and multitudes. Every instinct of our being ought to say, let that nation be saved and saved at once, which carries the world's largest hopes and the world's final destinies. In the Christianizing of our nation, the republic has its life at stake, society its order, labor its reward, home its happiness, and the world its future." End of quote from a book titled Makers of the American Republic, About Our Christian Forefathers, by a David Gregg. Yes, my friends, it is almost unbelievable to read that kind of thing today and then find out today we are told, no, Christians should have little or nothing to do with politics. It is not so. It was known not to be true, thank God, by our Christian forefathers. This author, and hundreds of others in early America, realized that the very government of America was and should be Christian. We have fallen far from that necessary and noble truth. Now, before I play a part of that sermon, Jeremiah, a weeping prophet to a sinful nation, take down my address so you can write for our new packet of literature. Write to me at America's Promise, Box 5334, Phoenix, Arizona, 85010, and ask for the free March packet of literature. Since it is about that time of year, when so many of you must wrestle with your income tax forms, not only to figure out the tax, but how you are going to pay it, along with so many other bills, I am going to send you a small booklet which will explain why we have such high taxes and so many bills. It is only 24 pages long. You can read it in about 30 minutes to an hour, depending on your reading speed. The title is Billions for the Bankers Brings War, Taxes, and Debts to the People. It is really a primer or a first-grade textbook on America's money, banking, and economic system. The book will explain to you why the people of America can produce half of all the world's manufactured goods and half of the world's agricultural products and yet be in debt more than all the rest of the world put together. What in the world is wrong? Well, this booklet will tell you things you have never read in your daily newspaper, nor have you been told this by your politicians, and in fact, you probably could not find this kind of information in any school or public library in the land. This book will tell you the secrets of money manipulation carried on in this nation, which pauperizes and makes debtors of all of the workers while the bankers and the moneylenders gather to themselves the wealth and riches of America. God told our Israel forefathers in Deuteronomy 28, verses 43 and 44, that if they would not obey his laws, statutes, and judgments, that the stranger that is within thee shall get up above thee very high, and thou shalt come down very low. He shall lend to thee, and thou shalt not lend to him. He shall be the head, and thou shalt be the tail. In other words, one of the judgments for disobedience that would come upon God's Israel people would be that the alien moneylender would take rulership over God's people, not only to place them in great debt, but to actually rule their government. Has it happened in America? We read earlier that the government was to be Christ, but disobedience gives it to the Antichrist. Has it happened in this once Christian nation? You read my booklet, Billions for the Bankers Brings War, Taxes, and Debts to the People. There are a number of other items in that free March packet. I'll not take the time to list them here. You write to America's Promise, Box 5334, Phoenix, Arizona 85010, and ask for the March packet. All right, here is another small portion of Jeremiah, a weeping prophet to a sinful nation. God is raising up what we know as heathen, antichrist, communist nations, and they obviously are preparing to come against our nation. Now, in spite of all of the propaganda that we receive, that we somehow can talk our way out of this, or if we are nice to them, and if we trade with them, and if we send them aid, any person with at least some knowledge of world events and the aims of world communism know they intend to come against this country. Now, here in the old Judah kingdom, God said, I am raising up a nation from the north, and I'm going to send it against you because of your sin and iniquity. Verse 17, Thou therefore gird up thy loins and arise, and speak unto them all that I command thee. Be not dismayed at their faces, lest I confound thee before them. Speak all that I command thee. This is the one crying need in America and the rest of our nations of Israel today, to hear God's word. Now, we hear a lot of other things, but God sent Jeremiah to a nation that was in danger of destruction by an enemy power, and he said, I'm sending you there to speak all that I command thee. Speak my word to Israel. For behold, I have made thee this day a defense city and an iron pillar and brazen walls against the whole land, against the kings of Judah, against the princes thereof, against the priests thereof, and against the people of the land. What a ministry Jeremiah had. Not a very good one or a very happy one, it seems. And of course, that's why Jeremiah was called the weeping prophet. He was sent there against the people of the land. He wasn't sent there for them. He was sent there to preach against them. What would the people do? And they shall fight against thee, but they shall not prevail against thee, for I am with thee, saith the Lord, to deliver thee. In chapter 2, he reminded the Israel people of the covenant, and then he asked them why they had turned away from him. And then in verse 7, God says to them, I brought you into a plentiful country to eat the fruit thereof and the goodness thereof. But when ye entered, ye defiled my land and made mine heritage an abomination. Now, as we've mentioned before, the parallel between ancient Israel and America is so striking, it is amazing that all of the people who read the Bible do not see it, but they do not. And yet we have had the same thing happen to us. We have been brought by God Almighty into a goodly land, and we have despoiled this land. We have polluted it, and we have made God's heritage an abomination. Now, Israel is God's heritage, and yet this Israel people has become a filthy, sinful, wicked people in what was and could have been, and still is to some extent, the greatest, most God-blessed nation upon the face of the earth. About two-thirds of the people of the earth live with the specter of famine haunting them every year. Millions of people die of diseases associated with lack of food, And yet here in America, we have so much of these things that we waste them. We do not understand why we even have them. And God said to the Judah kingdom through Jeremiah, I brought you into a plentiful country and to eat the fruit and the goodness thereof, but you defiled the land and made my heritage an abomination. And who are the greatest culprits? Listen to this. The priests said not, where is the Lord? And they that handle the law knew me not. The pastors also transgressed against me, and the prophets prophesied by Baal and walked after things that do not profit. Who is the culprit in this land of Israel? The clergy, the professing teachers of the Bible. And that was true in ancient Israel. They transgress against God, they teach Baal doctrine, and they corrupt themselves and Israel. Verse 19, thine own wickedness shall correct thee, and thy backsliding shall reprove thee. Know therefore and see that it is an evil thing and bitter that thou hast forsaken the Lord thy God, and that my fear is not in thee, saith the Lord God of hosts. It is a terrible thing to contemplate, but the very things that we have turned to will be the judgments that God will bring upon us. And let me give you an example here, or a few examples, so you'll understand what God means in this verse when he says, thine own wickedness shall correct thee. We won't punish murderers and thieves, so what happens? We live in fear of our lives, of murderers and thieves in our cities. We won't obey God's marriage laws, so we've millions of broken homes and a sad and despondent people and an epidemic of venereal disease. We won't obey God's economic laws, so we are becoming slaves to the moneylenders and the usurers. We won't obey God's farming and sanitation laws, so our food is not health-giving, and our environment, our air, water, and soil is being polluted. We won't obey God's command to segregate, separate ourselves from other races, so we are plagued with interracial hatred and violence against our own people by alien races in our own land. And we won't obey God's laws for government, so our government is becoming our enemy and our destroyer. It is true that our own wickedness will eventually correct us. These things that we have turned and done will eventually bring us to a point where we will have to turn to God or be destroyed. Now, Israel in America has not seen that yet. We still think we can do these things and continue in this corruption and say, well, that's just other people doing that. That has no effect on me. Well, I beg to tell you that God is speaking to the entire nation of Israel, as we'll see later. Verse 20, for of old time I have broken thy yoke and burst thy bands, and thou saidest, I will not transgress, when upon every high hill and under every green tree thou wanderest playing the harlot. God has given us the way to life and liberty, but we have turned from that. We have turned to other gods, other ideologies, and other heathen religions, and I mean to other heathen religions. I think I mentioned to you that one of the followers of Buddha is going to run for the mayor of the city of Phoenix. And if I recall, just recently, either the city of San Francisco or the state of California, I don't remember which, actually elected as a chaplain a Buddhist priest. You think we haven't turned to other gods? Yes, we not only have many individuals, but we are doing it on an official basis in this land. So God's condemnation of ancient Israel certainly fits us today. Yet I had planted thee a noble vine, wholly a right seed. How then art thou turned into the degenerate plant of a strange vine unto me? We know that America was planted as a faithful Christian people about 300 years ago. For though thou wash thee with nitre and take thee much soap, yet thine iniquity is marked before me, saith the Lord God. How canst thou say, I am not polluted? I have not gone after Balaam. See thy way in the valley. Know what thou hast done. Thou art a swift dromedary traversing her ways. We have had false doctrines preached so long in America that when we preach God's truth and tell people that they are following evil and strange doctrines, they do exactly what God said the people in Jerusalem would do to Jeremiah. What did God say to Jeremiah in chapter 1 and verse 19? He says, they shall fight against thee. And they are doing that in America today. They are actually fighting against the truth, and they say, we are not polluted, we are not worshiping Baal. And I must cut in again. That was a portion of a four-part sermon titled, Jeremiah, a Weeping Prophet to a Sinful Nation. When you write today for your free March packet of literature, I will send you our catalog of tape-recorded sermons and radio broadcasts, and you'll receive my booklet, Billions for the Bankers Brings War, Taxes, and Debts to the People. Find out the truth about our monstrous debt money system, a system which violates every precept of God's law as given in the Holy Scripture. That booklet is free. My address is America's Promise, Box 5334, Phoenix, Arizona, 85010. The announcer will repeat that in just 1 minute. I'll also enclose an article on swine so you can see where the flu and some of these other diseases are coming from. One sermon in that tape catalog, which follows some of what you have heard today, is titled, America Needs a Christian Government. That may seem strange for a minister to say that, much less preach it, but I do, and it is going to come to pass. It is prophesied in the Bible. That will come as quite a surprise to the atheists and the Antichrist. They work so hard to destroy all vestiges of Christ and God's Word in the land, and here Pastor Emery comes along and says their work is all in vain. America is going to have a Christian government. That might be a little surprise to some of you professing Christians, too, especially those who think God is going to whisk you off to heaven when the going gets tough. No, he is not. In fact, you are supposed to be in God's army, his battle axe and weapons of war. That retreat, called the rapture, by the ministers is false doctrine. This is Pastor Sheldon Emery. Write for the free March packet and read my pamphlet, Billions for the Bankers Brings War, Taxes, and Debts to the People. Listen to the announcer for my address. Until next week when I return, God willing, goodbye, God bless you, read your Bible, and pray for Christian America.
You have been listening to America's Promise. If you would like Pastor Emery to continue broadcasting on this station, please write to him at America's Promise, Post Office Box 5334, Phoenix, Arizona. America must hear God's Word preached in this hour of trial. When you write, please ask for the literature you would like. You will also receive a list of other literature available, a catalog of several hundred Bible sermons and radio broadcasts on tape, and the current log of radio stations where you or friends may hear America's Promise. Pastor Emery's address again, America's Promise, Box 5334, Phoenix, Arizona, 85010. That's America's Promise, Post Office Box 5334, Phoenix, Arizona, 85010. Be with Pastor Emery next week at this same time. Tell your friends of the broadcast, and thank you for listening.